Jeanette mentioned she mentioned the Jews coming and telling the Lord Jesus that there are 6 days in which you can labor and do all your work, but the seventh belongs to the Lord, and we shouldn't do any work on the seventh. The Jews believed that the seventh day was the day you come to worship the Lord. Christians believe what day is the day that you worship the Lord? Every day. Hallelujah. I heard some say, I know sometimes we Christians consider it the first day of the week, the day, the Lord's day, and we believe that's true, but the days that we come to worship the Lord ought to be every day. Every day ought to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust in your life that's the case. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to open to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, it'll take me a few minutes before we get there, but we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 23. 16 through 23. Those that believe in religious pluralism, often recite the medieval sentiment, all roads lead to Rome. Let me share that again. Those that believe in religious pluralism often recite the medieval sentiment that all roads lead to Rome, which is a shorthanded way of saying that all religions lead to where? All religions lead to God. Lead to God or heaven. Yeah, that's I'll accept that too. Is that true? I would hope I'd hear a resounding no. So to the pluralist, whether you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ or Muhammad of the Islamic religion or the Buddha of Buddhism or any other religion, it really makes no difference which you follow as long as you are faithful in your practice, for in the end, all religions lead to God. But Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. So I think the Lord Jesus Christ would disagree with the religious pluralist, don't you? Buddy, we better find our way to the Lord Jesus Christ. We better grab hold of His hand, and we better be ready when the eastern sky splits, when the Lord comes for His church. We need to be close in tow with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, verse 24, the Lord Jesus says this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and do what? Follow me. Follow me. He doesn't say to follow Muhammad or Buddha. He says, follow me. And so if I were to ask how many here this morning believe that all religions lead to God, I would bet that not one in this congregation would be willing to align themselves with this belief. And if I was to ask this morning how many believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that leads to God, practically everyone, I believe in this congregation, would agree. And if I ask how many here this morning follow the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, I wonder how many hands would go up with complete confidence. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? I can assure you of this. I don't follow the teachings of Muhammad this morning. Do you? I don't follow the teachings of Muhammad this morning. I don't follow the teachings of the Buddha. But can I honestly say this morning, and can you honestly say that you follow the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say, yes, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the question, and then the question comes up, what does it mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus? And I'm not asking you this morning if you're saved. I'm not asking you this morning if you're saved, because many folks who are saved don't follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sad to say, isn't it? But that's the truth. There are many folks today who are saved, who have a home in glory, but do not follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want the blood of His sacrifice to save them, but they don't want the Spirit of His life to guide them. That's true. That's true. Many Christians who have counted on the blood of Jesus Christ to save their soul live by the human spirit and not the Holy Spirit. That's sad. Many churches are falling apart because of it. And listen, I got a positive witness this week. I've gotten calls from churches that need pastors. And you know what the problem is in those churches when you do a little investigative work? One person can't get along with the other. There's no Jesus Christ in the church. There's no Spirit of God in the church. And God's not going to be in that church when it's divided. So sad. So sad. So I'm not asking you if you're saved this morning. Many folks who are saved don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They want the blood of His sacrifice to save them, but they don't want the Spirit of His life to guide them. Listen, in Luke chapter 6, verses 45 through 46, or 45 and 46, Jesus says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord?" Now, Christians, listen. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Following Christ is more than just a Sunday morning venture into religion. I'm asking you this morning if you follow in your lifestyle, in your daily living, in your relationship with others, the pattern set before us in the Holy Scriptures of the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because following Jesus is more than just an occasional visit to His church on Sunday morning, or occasional tip of the hat or smile or a passing joke with a brother or a sister in Christ. Following the Lord Jesus is more than just a social affair at church. Following the Lord Jesus Christ means at some point in time, sacrifice. Does. Means at some point in time, sacrifice. It means that we take all of our wants and all of our wills and all of our hurts and our bitterness and our selfishness and give them all to Jesus, that He might cleanse our hearts and make us whole in Him and make us useful vessels for His service, which is a service first to Him and then a service to who else? That's right, others. First, God makes us fit for service in His service, and then also in service to others. What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? As we come to Matthew chapter 8, to this point in the life of the Lord Jesus, He's been baptized. He's been challenged by Satan in the wilderness. He has just concluded His Sermon on the Mount. He's healed a leper. He's healed a Roman centurion's servant and Peter's mother-in-law. And the word spread quickly throughout the land that this man Jesus was a miracle worker, and so people came from all over the region. Why were they coming? Were they coming to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Were they coming to pay homage to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why were they coming? Why were these people coming from all over the region? They were coming to see this miracle worker. And listen, if they were sick and if they were suffering, like many in our churches today, sick and suffering, we pray for them. We pray diligently for them. We want God to heal our loved ones who are suffering in any kind of an illness or sickness. And yet God has a perfect will, and our job is to pray for those people, to intercede on behalf of those folks. But it's God's will to do as He pleases with that particular individual. So if you're praying, let me just say this, if you're praying for someone to be healed, it's a wonderful thing. It's God's desire that that person be healed, but the healing can come in any number of ways. That person may be physically sick, but need a spiritual healing. And you know what? Through the physical sickness, God can bring about a spiritual healing. So when we pray, we want to pray that God heals that person, but at the same time, we want God's will, perfect will, to be done. So here people are coming from all over the region, and they're coming because they want to see this miracle worker, the Lord Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 16, it says, "When the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness." Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the many blessings of life that you bestow upon us this morning, Father, as we have the opportunity to break the bread of life. Father, in the short time we have, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit minister to the heart of the one that's here this morning, that's suffering, that's hurting in any way, shape, or form. We pray that the Spirit would just reach down and touch and minister and give great blessing in this hour. That one that might be sad or living in depression or whatever anxiety might be in the life, Father, we lift it up to the Lord Jesus, and we pray that the Holy Spirit would bless and comfort and give peace. And then this morning, Father, if there's one here that's never made a personal commitment to you, Father, a personal commitment to you, not a personal commitment to the church, not a personal commitment to a roster of Christians, but a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray this morning that that heart would be opened and that that individual would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as you call upon them. As you knock upon the heart's door, Father, we pray that they would open their heart and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Many folks were coming to Christ to get. Many folks were coming to Christ to get. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, as I was sitting in at the Honeybun class, Jeanette had mentioned the fact that when we have burdens, when we have troubles, when we have turbulence in our life, what should we do? Should we get excited and go off the deep end? Or what is the first thing that we should do when turbulence comes into our life? Pray, seek God's face. That's right, because we can get perfect peace from on high. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the barrier, what the burden or whatever, if we take it to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can get perfect peace, even though we may still be in the midst of that particular situation. But listen, we shouldn't be just praying just when in times of turbulence, should we? We ought to have a prayer life that is consistently, day by day by day, where we go to the Lord and we just talk to Him, just to let Him know I'm His child. Listen, if my children didn't talk to me every now and then, I'd think that they didn't love me. You know, but if my children came to me every time they needed something, I'd think they didn't love me. I think they'd love my material blessings, but they certainly wouldn't appreciate the fellowship with their father. God wants to hear from you day by day. He wants to hear from you every day, not just when you need something. But here, these folks were coming to Christ to get. And while Jesus was certainly anxious to heal everyone and could have healed everyone, this was not the immediate purpose of His coming. Eventually, the whole world would be healed by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this point in time in the life and the ministry of Christ, there was a message to be shared and a work to be accomplished, and it needed to be accomplished in a short period of time. The Lord Jesus Christ, His ministry only lasted on this earth how long? 3 years. 3 years. It is amazing when you think about it, all the things where Christ had gone, how many people's lives Christ touched in that short period of time. Jesus instructed His disciples to prepare to cross over the Sea of Tiberias. And lo and behold, there comes a Bible scholar, a scribe, hurrying to Jesus to give Him some good news. Isn't it interesting that Christ, when He came and He called His disciples, or He called His apostles, that He didn't call the religious people. You know, He didn't call the religious people. He didn't call the scribes. He didn't call the Pharisees. He didn't call the priests. He didn't call the Sadducees. He didn't call any of those people. Who did He call? He called fishermen. He called fishermen. It's interesting that here a scribe comes running to the Lord Jesus. Verse 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, or teacher, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. That sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Remember, Peter said, oh, I'll die for you, Lord. I'm willing to die for you. I've got a little sword. And listen, if anything happens to you, if they come and try to take you, I'll die for you. But when they came and when they took Jesus away, his attitude kind of changed, didn't it? His attitude changed. And sometimes, listen, I love the conversation between the Lord Jesus and Peter after the resurrection. When Jesus came and met Peter on the shore and was breaking bread there, preparing a breakfast for His disciples, and He went to Peter and He shared with Peter and He was talking to Peter, lovest thou Me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. Peter, lovest thou more than the Lord said, feed my lambs. And then he said, feed my sheep. And the second time, and the second time Jesus asked him, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, yes, I love you. You know what Jesus was looking for? Jesus was looking for that boasting in Peter that he had before the crucifixion. Listen, it's a changed Peter now. Peter knows that God looks right into his heart. Peter knows that God knows exactly what's on his heart. God knows exactly what's on your heart. So when you start boasting about your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and how close you are, I'll tell you what, it won't be long before God will send you a test and see and show the world how miserably weak you are in the Lord Jesus. We don't need to be boasting about our relationship to the Lord Jesus. Oh, I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'd give everything. I'd give my whole life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, that may have, if that ever come to pass, I pray that you'd be able to stand firm in that testimony. But by George, listen, we need to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ, loving Him and loving others, and seeking to draw these others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And forget about boasting about our relationship to the Lord Jesus. Here this scribe comes and says, I'm going to follow you whithersoever thou goest. Where was Jesus on his way to? Eventually the cross. Eventually the cross. Eventually the whole world would be healed by the coming of the Lord Jesus. But I want you, verse 19. Now mind you, that this scribe has just been a witness to a number of great miracles, and no doubt has been caught up in the attention given at this time to the Lord Jesus. Matthew Henry writes, we should think ourselves sure of such a man as this scribe, and yet it appears by Christ's answer that his resolution was rash, his ends low, and carnal. That means fleshly. You know, for entertainers, so many people flock to entertainers. You know, they want to be. You know, they want to mimic the entertainers. Whatever the entertainers' clothes, whatever they wear, people want to wear those clothes. Well, here's a scribe who sees all these wonderful, marvelous things happening around the Lord Jesus, and all these people, all the attention he's getting, and he wants to be part of that program. So Matthew Henry says that his resolution was rash and his ends low and carnal. In other words, instead of seeking to take up his cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus, he was contemplating the fleshly benefits of following after such a miracle worker. His heart was not set on service, but upon his own gain, and we find that he was not as anxious to follow Christ as he thought. For in verse 20, the Lord says, and the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And with this answer, it is clear that Christ could see this man's heart. He was a man that would follow Christ as long as there was something to be gained for self. He would follow Christ as long as the going was good, the road was smooth, and the weather was kind. But there was no true desire in this man's heart, even though he spoke it so, to go where Jesus was going. 11 out of 14 apostles died a martyr's death. 11 out of 14 of the Lord Jesus Christ's apostles died a martyr's death. These 14 include Matthias and Paul. And we remember that Judas did what? He committed suicide. 11 of the close followers of the Lord Jesus Christ gave their life for the testimony of the gospel. There are some Christians who are all-weather Christians, and others who claim to be all-weather until the weather darkens ever so slightly. It is interesting that Christ said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. In other words, God looks out for the animals of the fields and the birds of the air. And if this is true, how much more would God the Father take care of His own servants? Do you think God can take care of you? I do. I really do. I really do. It's been wonderful to hear the testimonies of some folks here lately who have almost been at their wit's end, and they've sought God's face and turned the thing over to God. And Lord, how wonderfully the Lord has just turned the whole situation around. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, Jesus says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." I love that song, "His eye is on the sparrow." And if He watches over the sparrow, guess what? He certainly watches over me. Jesus says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." There is no record that the apostles of Jesus Christ ever lacked for anything. God, just as He was taking care of His Son, was taking care of the apostles. Following Jesus at some point in time, though, means sacrifice. Certainly those apostles gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's because they were so close to the Lord Jesus and they believed so strongly in the message that they were willing to lay down their life for the cause of Christ. Verse 21, here comes another person. No, I beg your pardon, this is one of Christ's disciples, and they believe it was Philip. That's tradition, but we don't know that for sure. Verse 21 says, "And another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." When we consider the urgency of the Scriptures, the urgency of the call, the time that we live in today, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's an urgency today to reach folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we spend our time, you love your family members, and your family members love you. But listen, your family members, the devil can use your family members to keep you off the track of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He can draw you right off the track. It is so important that our walk with Christ be evident to every man, woman, and child that we have the opportunity to come in contact with. When Donald Gray Barnhouse once said this, "I don't want to be in the presence of any stranger too long before he knows that I belong to the Lord Jesus." Is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? You have a little group over here and a little group over there, and you've never met any of these people, but you visit over in this little group, and how long are you going to be with this group before they know that you belong to the Lord Jesus? How long are you going to be with this group before they know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you venture over here to this group, how long are you going to be with them before they know that you belong to the Lord Jesus? Because listen, if Christ isn't grounded in your heart, you can get over here with this group, and before you know it, you're falling into the same jokes, the same laughter, the same lifestyle. And your testimony goes right out the window. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have fun with other folks. You certainly can. But I want those folks to know that I belong to the Lord Jesus. And I trust that my walk would be such that it would be evident of that. I have heard the testimony of ministers who have, for some reason, been engaged in a family activity, so caught up with the affair, they missed the opportunity to reach a lost soul for the Lord Jesus. One day, the lost soul is here. The next day, it would be gone for all eternity. And so there may be an opportunity for you to witness, and yet you sell that opportunity out to go and involve yourself in family affairs. Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Even the funeral of a loved one is not as important as serving Christ and reaching the lost for the kingdom of God. And then in verse 23, look what it says. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples did what? They followed him. They followed him. Let me ask you, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? And if so, are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living your life day by day, hoping that someone will be able to bear witness of the fact that you, in your walk, in your talk, in your daily activities, that you belong to the Lord Jesus? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice, not a dying sacrifice. Christ died on Calvary's cross for us. Poured His blood out there. And I tell you what, it's our reasonable service to sacrifice and to give Him a life sacrificed to living for Him. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Following Christ will require sacrifice. In the handbook for Bible applications, it says, following Jesus is not always easy or comfortable. Well, it is for some Christians. It is for some Christians. Let me tell you, let me just share something. You know, I've been on a week's vacation. A lot of things to be done around the house. A lot of things to be done around the yard. Martha, buddy, she's got a priority one, priority two, priority three, priority four, priority five, priority six. And you know what my priority is? Recliner. 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 Vacation. Quiet. Peace. No, no. Martha has work to do, and she's busy about it. And guess what? If she's busy about getting it done, and she knows that that recliner's in there holding her better half, I'm not going to be in that recliner very long. She's going to get me up and get me moving. Martha gets things done around the house. But this old guy, buddy, he's got to be pushed when it comes to things in the yard and things that need to be a hammer and a nail and all that. But you know, in Christian service, it's the same way. There's some Christians that are just so busy, 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 serving the Lord Jesus. Not for personal gain, not for vainglory, but they're serving, serving, serving. And there's some others that are just absolutely recliner suited. That's all they want to do is sit in the recliner. So here it says, following Jesus is not always easy or comfortable. Often it means great cost and sacrifice, with no earthly rewards for security. You may find that following Christ costs you popularity. It may cost you friendship and leisure time or treasured habits. But while the cost of following Jesus is high, the value of being Christ's disciples is even higher. Discipleship is an investment that lasts for eternity and yields incredible rewards. So let me very quickly, what types of sacrifice are pleasing to God? What types of sacrifice are pleasing to God? Well, there's a host. There's a host. There's no end to service for the Lord Jesus. But let me just give you three. God is pleased with a sacrifice that comes from true love and obedience. God doesn't want your lip service. God wants your heart. He wants your heart. And He wants service that comes from the heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, Paul says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a what? A cheerful giver. Whatever the sacrifice in time, in money, or service, let it be from a willing, loving, and a cheerful heart. This is a great sacrifice for the Lord. And by the way, it's a living sacrifice. God is pleased with a sacrifice that shows true love for others. John the Baptist said, and now also, as John the Baptist announced the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, things are going to change. Things are going to change. John says, and now the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. True Christian love is seeing the need of others and sacrificing to help and meet that need. And God is pleased with our genuine praise and receives it as sacrifice. Our genuine praise, by the way, our genuine praise is praise that comes from the heart. In Hebrews 13, verses 14 through 16, the writer of Hebrews writes, for here we have no continuing city. Thank God. God has a home in glory for us, and by George, we may be going there today. I'm excited about that. I'm thankful for that. Paul says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. For him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ means more than just a Sunday morning trip to church. You might be saved this morning, but have no real desire for serving Christ in any other capacity than merely occupying a seat in His church on Sunday morning. Followers of Christ show true love and obedience to Him in their demonstration of love and compassion for others. Followers of the Lord Jesus show true love and obedience to Christ by looking steadfastly for His soon return. And followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have a great desire to see others come to Christ and to walk and to talk and to live in such a way as to bring honor and glory to His name. in our Sunday school lesson this morning. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, let me just read those again. Now, I hope that you were in the Sunday school class. If you're not, you should come and participate in our Sunday school program. It's a wonderful time of fellowship and learning. Paul says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Boy, that's what we want. That's what I want. I want peace of mind. I want that peace that passes all understanding. We ask the question, what is that? Well, I believe it's unnatural peace. It's a peace that the world doesn't know. You won't find it in the world. You won't find it chasing after things. Here is the walk, then, that brings honor and glory to Christ. Here is a walk that presents before the world a peace of heart and soul and mind that passes all understanding. And here is that walk of moderation that can be seen of all men, that it is a walk that follows in the footprints of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you one more time, and if you're not, and I know we fall, we falter, we make mistakes, we can never live up to the very standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we ought to strive to do so. We ought to strive to do so. Are you following in the steps of the Lord Jesus today? Are you trying to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus today? Well, let me tell you this. If you've never been born again, if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't walk. There's no way you can do it. I mean, you can mimic it, and it's a cardboard life, but only the Holy Spirit in you can walk in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ walked. That's right. That's right. So if you've never been born again, I mean, if you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to make it in your heart right now, today. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, hallelujah, thou shalt be saved. Amen? God calls all. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God. There's nobody else. There's nobody else. There's nobody. He's the great creator. And God says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved this morning? God has given that wonderful gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. God has a wonderful gift He wants to give you. You know what? You know how you receive it? You open your heart and you say, Lord, come into my life. Come into my life just as I am. Just as I am. Amen. Christians, are you saved? And if you're saved, are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Father. We thank You for the blessings of life that You bestow upon us. Father, I thank You for each one that's come this way this morning. Lord, we pray for that one that's furthest from Thee. And Lord, we pray that in this sanctuary there's not one that doesn't know You as personal Savior. But Father, if there is, help them to realize pride will if they pass away today, if they leave this world today, pride will be the barrier that finds themselves a home in hell for all eternity. Father, help them to push away their pride and open up their heart and say, Christ, come into my life and live Your life in me. Unworthy as we are, not one of us is worthy. If we're ever waiting to clean up our life, we'll never clean it up because Christ is the only one that can do that for us. Father, bless Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.